Jesus' name, amen. 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 Very special day today, being that it is Father's Day, because my father-in-law is in town, came to see us, and it worked out wonderfully. He is the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Mount Dora, Florida. Beautiful, beautiful city, Mount Dora, Florida. Been there for 29 years as their pastor and started the church. They just had their 29th anniversary. He started that church years ago, and I'm so glad that he came to Central Florida and brought his daughter with him. I'm so happy that that happened and that that occurred. And they were supposed to come a little earlier, than my mother-in-law had to have double eye surgery. And so now she's here. I told her, I said, "Now, Mom, when you come, I need to prepare you. You need to be ready. You need to prepare yourself. Now that you've had these important surgeries, improved your vision, you're now going to see just truly how handsome I am. And it may be a shock to your system. Now you see what the big deal was and why your daughter went head over heels and just fell in love with me and begged me to marry her. She begged me to marry her for, you know, within minutes of meeting me. So I know you didn't get it, but now you do. So, but in any case, they were supposed to come earlier, and then that happened, so they postponed it. And I'm glad. I'm very glad that it worked out this way, because I wanted him to preach on Father's Day, and I can't think of anybody better to preach here today on Father's Day. My father-in-law, please make welcome Dr. Mike Watkins.
Love you. Appreciate you. All right, how y'all doing today? Praise the Lord, and glad to be here today. Can I get an amen on that? You're glad you're here too, amen? It's a good place to be, amen? Somebody met me in the hallway out there, and they says, "Good to see you." And I says, "Well, it's better to be seen than viewed." All right. I think Father's Day started with Hallmark, is what somebody told me. I'm not sure. But great to be back with my family and with Town East Church family. Praise the Lord for all the above. I thank God for Dr. Riggs for asking me to preach on this Father's Day. And we're planning on being here, like you said, on Mother's Day. And a little confusing there, but it worked out where we could come this holiday. Amen. And in my church, I actually was speaking out of town the Sunday before Mother's Day down there, so it worked out real good. And my assistant preached a Mother's Day sermon a week early. And then, of course, before I left town, I preached a Father's Day message early and got him back a little bit on that. Amen? But I'm really confused which one this is. Amen? But it's all good. Amen? Glad to have my sweetheart here this morning. Jody, we met, I tell you, we're getting close to meeting 60 years ago. We've been married 53. Somebody asked me, "How long have you been happily married?" And I said, 25. 25 out of 53 is not bad. Amen. Amen. But she had two Cadillacs and had them removed out of her eyes. And that's a good thing for that. I'm an administrator at my house. Amen. I have a title, and I administrate the eye drops in her eyes. Amen. And first time I ever had a job like that in the house. Amen. But administrating the eye drops, and so with both eyes being done, how many's ever been through that before? Amen. And how many's ever had a Cadillac? But anyway, it's all good as I administrate the eye drops. And I can't help this to get it off my mind. I don't want to put it in the middle of the sermon here, but I can't get it off my mind because each drop I put in her eyes equals to later on when I may need a diaper change. So we're keeping tally. She got a little bored and taking them all off, amen? Not there yet, amen? Hallelujah for that. But anyway, oh, boy. But anyway, I really enjoy driving out to here from our state in Florida. We actually took about 3 days getting here. We took our time and stopped by and saw some folks we know and stopped by Dr. Johnny Pope's church last Wednesday night. And he said, "Are you coming or going? You already been out there, or are you going back home?" I said, "Well, we're going." He said, "Good. I'm glad you got your priorities right." Amen. Stopped by his church. Amen. But anyway, And along the way, we stopped at all the Bucky stations. There's a bunch of them around there. Amen. And only in America, can you turn a gas station into a theme park for hillbillies. With great brisket and clean toilets, all right, bathrooms, whatever you want to call them, amen. Anyway, it was all good, amen. And their plan, your pastor's plan, was to wear me down yesterday quite a bit, driving to Fredericksburg, going there wasn't real bad, but coming back, we had like four lanes going down to one lane, and all you Texans trying to get into one lane, it was a fight, there was guns out and everything. Took about an hour and a half to get up there. I don't know. It might took 2 hours to get back. Amen. But it will move right along. Amen. But he said I could take it a little bit longer today. And Kyle, keep that in mind before you shut me off at 12:15. He did say I could go to 12:30 because of all the extra activities. You're smiling, but I don't know if I trust you or not. But anyway, he shut me off last year. Amen. But it was good. Amen. I was feeling really great and wonderful until the Adriana got me on the go-kart track out here down the road. And I mean, I'm an old man, you know. And I got on that golf cart, and that was her first drive in by herself in a golf cart. And fortunately, she was going fairly slow, and I was behind her, and I passed her and got around the track and everything. Then she passed me, and we still had a couple of laps left. Amen. And it was all good, amen. She was all excited about passing her grandpa, amen. And until I parked it, you know how you park them and everybody wants to run it into everybody? You know, how many's ever been go-karting before? Amen. How many like to go? All right, Adriana will pay your way. Go ahead and see her at church. But anyway, you drive up these golf carts and you bang into each other, amen. I was feeling great, amen. I just had a chiropractic treatment before I left town, and boom, amen. And so I have a little crick, you know, in case I'm preaching, you wonder why what happened there, amen. But I think really she just misses Stephen so much. I mean, it's like it's beyond my thinking there, no doubt about that. I want to preach to you this morning. I won't be long, amen, but I want to talk about this word that's been on my mind for a week, and it's called engagement. Be engaged. I want to talk about that today, amen. And it means being involved and occupied, connected to something or someone, interaction, involvement. And some of you all know it could be in battling and engagement of that sort, amen. As a man with many men that I've met in my lifetime, praise the Lord for that. And I love it when we engage in the ministry, engage in the thinking and talking with one another, and that's always a good thing, amen. And I want you to look at a few verses with me this morning. We'll just take a few minutes. Go ahead and go to Hebrews, amen. And I'll try to trim this down. I remember preaching for a pastor down in Orlando, and there was two preachers, and it was a men's meeting. We had about a couple hundred men there, Hebrews chapter number 4. And we had a couple hundred men there and everything. And the pastor said, I thought I was going to be the only speaker, but then he had a friend of his preach too. And he said, Brother Watkins, I know you're used to preaching an hour or so, but today, he says, we have another preacher there. And can you narrow your sermon down a little bit? And I said, sure, I can do that. Amen. This morning, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Anyway, Hebrews chapter number 4, look at verse number 12. And these are familiar verses with everybody, I believe. 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God, God knows our thoughts. He knows our intents, our motives behind everything we do. And it's something to think about very seriously, that God is always watching us, over us, caring for us, but He knows our thoughts. He knows everything in our lives. Nothing takes Him by surprise. And He is God. He is love, though. Amen to that. And he is merciful, and he's caring, and he's loving, and he's forgiving. And there's some great attributes that all of us should have in our lives. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment. Father, I ask you now to bless the few minutes we have together. Pray that you'll just help us today to be encouraged, to be helped, to be challenged. And thank you for this wonderful church and the blessings of being here and seeing all these wonderful men in this church come forward. And it's always a good thing, Lord Jesus, to see the men step up to the plate and take responsibility and be where they need to be and so on. What a blessing it is to be saved and know that we're going to go to heaven when we die one day. In Jesus' name we love you. Amen. I want to give you five quick points this morning. Number one, we must do some engaging in things of life. But number one, we must be engaged into godly and spiritual relationship with God, with Him. Amen. We must, number one, we must engage into a godly spiritual relationship with Him. Amen. And the inner man and the outer man. Amen. To become spiritual, first of all, you got to be saved. You got to know where you're going to go for all eternity. Jesus is the only way they can save you and take you to heaven when you die. Amen. Somebody shout amen to that. And being saved, born again, a child of God, knowing that you'll spend eternity in heaven. And you know something, after we get saved and we begin to get engaged in the spiritual realm with God, and of course, He given us the Bible to study and read, and He's given us opportunities to pray and so on. But here it is that the division that must happen and engage here, like it says in the Bible there, Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I think that's why a lot of people don't like reading the Bible or hearing the Bible preached, amen, because it is sharp and is cutting. God is always wanting to work in our hearts and our lives, amen, dividing the asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow and the discerners of the thoughts in intents of the heart, amen? So we must have a godly spiritual relationship with Him. In order to do that, you must be saved. You must know Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen? Don't ever get tired of hearing that. Don't ever get tired of sharing your testimony with other people. Don't ever get tired of giving out the gospel to a lost and dying world, amen? And praise the Lord for that. The Spirit of man and the Holy Spirit moves inside when you get saved, amen? And He wants to strengthen us and help us, amen? And the Spirit must, we must allow the Spirit of God to control our lives and our body and spirit and our minds, amen, and everything. And so men and women must realize our flesh and our body and soul and emotions all fight against spirituality. The natural man fights against spirituality and being told what to do, amen, and all that from God's word, amen. And sometimes we all fight against that and the growth in the spiritual life that God wants for everybody, every man and woman and child, everybody, amen. And so, but nobody's going to be perfect and nobody's ever going to arrive, amen. And I know how some folks are, amen. Well, I never was taught that way, or I never heard that before, and I never, quit saying never, amen, and just jump on board and say, bless God, I'm going to be the best that I can be in my life, amen, the best man that I can be in my life, the best husband I can be in my life, amen, the best father. In my case, I got four kids, 12 grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren, amen, so I get three chances of getting this close to being right. First time around, you know, and then they get grandkids, and it's fun to enjoy them, and they think I'm Superman, amen. So anyway, and of course I am, but anyway, nobody's perfect, amen. And we're all just common folks, amen? Everybody's got excuses. Even Moses had his, right? He had an excuse that he couldn't do this, that, and the other, amen? Quit coming up with excuses and quit thinking about what could go wrong and how you're not right, amen? All his disciples think about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he handpicked every one of them. Were they perfect? No, not by any stretch of the matter, amen. But they were chosen of God, and they decided to get in spiritually and get close to Jesus Christ, amen. 3 years of training Jesus had with him. He goes to being crucified, shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary, and where are they? Amen. As a pastor, sometimes I wonder, where do they go or where are they? Amen. I thought they loved God and loved the church and loved everything. Amen. And so all these things, here's what happens. Use a few verses with me. Come on, go to 2 Kings over in the Old Testament there. And so what happened? Well, we must first of all engage with God. Amen. And some things happen in all of our lives, but we're going to look at 2 Kings. And I want you to see an important period, place in the Bible, no doubt about that. Amen. And all places are important in the Bible. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. Amen. And this happened over and over in the New Testament, what I'm going to read here. But in the seventh year of Jehoash began to reign, 40 years reign, he in Jerusalem. That's a good thing. Amen. And his mother's name was, they got a lot of names I can't pronounce. Amen. We'll call her Ozibi and Beersheba. And Dobesa did that was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein the priest instructed him. But, verse number 3, but the high places were not taken away. And the people still sacrifice and burn incense in all the high places. The high places, and referring to some things in our life that just are embedded. And you say, you keep trying and I keep trying to get them out. And what it's really surrendering to God, let him work in your heart and let him change your life completely. And he said, they hung on to those high places. And that was a problem. Amen. That was always a problem. And it's a problem in all of our lives when we hang on to some things in our life, like bitterness or anger or something or whatever, and on we could talk about that, but we must engage with God to do right in the sight of God. But the high places were not taken away. There were some things they cling to. Amen. When you and I engage with God, and so in my case, I got in a church right at 26 years old. Amen. And I got in, man alive. I didn't have a clue what was going on, but they said, come on to the church on Sunday night. I said, Sunday night? What are you going to do on Sunday night? He said, well, we're going to have preaching again. Oh, okay, I'll be there. And then on Sunday night, they said, Brother Watkins, see you Wednesday night. I said, what are we going to do? I thought we were going to have some hamburgers, french fries, maybe mow some grass, or I don't know. We're going to have a Bible study. Amen? And this is how it happened to me. Wednesday night, the pastor says, hey, listen to me. He's an old Dr. Robertson graduate back. Good to have you here. Good to have you here. Come back tomorrow night. I said, for what? He says, soul winning. Amen. So I come back. And, that's the way my Christian life started out. And I just kept on doing it. And I'm still doing all the same thing. Amen. Get on out there. Amen. Well, we must be engaged with God. Amen. And develop a prayer life and so on. Begin to tithe and give the missions in my life. Amen. And I got engaged with God. Amen. And then get engaged in the area of marriage. Amen. In marriage. Well, it says in Ephesians, and everybody knows most of these verses, but I'm going to read them anyway for a few moments. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And so it's all good. Amen. But I'm going to look at a couple of places, chapter number 6, and drop down to verse number 25. And a lot of people have heard these and know these. So I'm not giving you anything that you may not know. Amen. Or maybe you have not heard of before in your life. And chapter number 5, I'm sorry. And see there, I was just testing you all back there and see if you can keep up with everything. Chapter number 5 and verse number, let's just go down to verse number 20. And giving thanks in all things and to God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Submit it in yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so a lot of us like to harp on this. And I know that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Now look at verse number 25. And you know I was going to get to that eventually. Husband, love your wives, even as, look at that, even as, that means equal to, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Even as. And so that's all good. Amen. And we won't go any further there, but God wants us to realize this in our lives as you and I, as we have got married and have children and everything, and eventually become called a father in most cases. Amen. But we must be engaged in this marriage. And look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives. Even it says there, and love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, I'm not saying you fall in love with yourself, men, but you know what it's meaning here. You love your wife, even as you love life and love others and everything. But love your wife. So ought men to love your wives as your own bodies. And so even as their own bodies, it's an important thing to get married. Amen. And God did not take the part of the foot of man and make a woman. He made it out of the rib, out of the side. Amen. Not from the foot to be walked upon and trampled upon and treated as a lesser human being, but love them. Now I got married. I had to learn how to love and how to take orders and all these kind of things. And I had to do all that. Amen. And I didn't have a clue, just like I didn't have a clue when I got saved. Amen. I didn't have a clue about marriage and everything. But the marriage is a wonderful thing. Men, we need to make sure we have the spiritual principles placed in our life to be the have a great marriage. Amen. And we all been taught humanistic philosophies and all that kind of stuff. And society's abandoned spiritual principles and everything. But be a provider. Be a love. Be in love with your wife. Number of reasons why you should. The Bible says that, but it's the right thing to do. And to love them all the days of your life. Amen. And to be an example for your children. Amen. Be engaged and not only in your marriage, but also be engaged with your children. That means participate, be involved. Amen. Love them, participate with them. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 1, we all know this one, don't we? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse number 2, that's in the same book there. Verse number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. Amen. So we like to, you know, bombard children with all kinds of biblical truths and everything, but simple truth of the matter is that we ought to love them more than anybody else on the face of the earth. Love them, care for them, amen. And so be engaged with the children, amen. And verse number 4, he said, and ye fathers, look at that, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in what? The nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How are we going to do that if we're not spiritual, man? How are we going to do that, men, if we're not in the book? And amen. Come on now, help me. How can we do that? And how can we be a person that we should be, and a father that we should be? Amen. Bring them up and strengthen them and show them the right way to go. And it's the right thing to do. Amen. So we love the Word of God, don't you? But it tells us here, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Now, not all of them's going to turn out the way you may think they ought to turn out. I don't think I turned out like my dad thought I should turn out. Amen. We all turn out how we're supposed to turn out. Amen. But sometimes we just don't do what God says about this area, being a father with our children, to love them and strengthen them and guide them and show them the right way to live and be an example. Amen. Not just telling them what to do. Not just preaching to them what they ought to do. But also to love them and show them by example. An example. How many examples of true manhood do you know? How many examples of true fatherhood do you know? You think about that. Somebody that's truly a wonderful example. And I know something, hey, everybody will disappoint you once in a while and all that. Nobody's perfect. But anyway, somebody to be an example. And so I think we men, and we ought to be example to the younger men. Amen. And be an example of loving your wife like you should and showing other people what it truly is like. I'm still working on that. Amen. Y'all here, I'll finish by 1 o'clock. Don't worry. Come on, you can say amen. And some people are afraid to say amen because they, Your wife's sitting beside you, and she's thinking, he ain't perfect either. You ought to know him, amen? And you can't come to my house either, amen? But anyway, be an example. Show them what love is like. Show them what manhood is like. Be an example, and so they can follow in your footsteps. And I had a great opportunity growing up, and I grew up in Missouri. You can stay seated, please. My wife was born in Texas, and she's half Italian, though. All you, they're going to clap for you. Amen. I'm the one that's preaching. Come on now. Anyway, she's a half a Texan or whatever. Her father is a 20-year Air Force man. Don't hold it against her. But anyway, he's a great man. Amen. One of the most loving people I ever met in my life was her daddy. I said, man, alive. Is this what truly is... fatherhood is like? I mean, unbelievable. Awesome man. Incredible. Amen. And thanks for singing that song, Heaven Came Down. That's our favorite song. We didn't tell anybody, but the Holy Ghost worked on that. Amen. And so, hey, listen to me. And I got two more. I'll give you two more thoughts here this morning. And nextly is we need to be engaged in spiritual work. And don't say, I can't do that. Because we'll all do that if you're not careful. I can't do that. I can't say that. One day you'll be glad when you do spiritual work and you have the crowns in heaven, no doubt about that. Amen. And the crowns of rejoicing, incorruptible crown, righteousness, life and glory and so on, rewards in heaven and all that. Amen. But on earth, what are some ways that you can serve others and have a servant heart? Amen. To love others and keep your heart tender. And how do I keep my heart tender? Amen. Well, I do pray and read the Bible, but there's some practical things that I do to help my heart stay tender. I got a little congregation down in one of our parks where I live. I go in the park there and usually like stop by there Saturday afternoon or somewhere in there after I go out soul winning and talking to people, and I like to go to the park. And they, hey, preacher, how you doing? I mean, they live there. A lot of them just live there. That's their place and stuff. And I like to go by there. And I thank God that he allowed me to live my life the way he has. I lived 74 years, and I never had to live like they lived. Never had to live in a park and so on. And never had to live without seemingly nothing, you know what I mean? But somebody needs to care for them, and it helps me to have, I don't sympathize with them. Are you listening to me? I empathize with them. I try to put myself in their shoes. And that's the way we ought to be in our lives. Somewhere along the line, you got to get your heart tenderized. Go soul winning some of the places where you knock on the door and the door falls off the house, you know. You go to some places I've been that no doubt about that, the nursing homes, and has a great effect on my heart and going there and knowing. In fact, I went to a nursing home one time, and we had a ministry there, and I filled in for one of the Sunday mornings before Sunday school. We went there early. Yeah, we had a church service there, and I was the guest speaker, you know, and all that. And folks come in, and they wheeled in, and I helped come in and everything. And they had a little podium like this right over here. Are you watching me? They had a little podium like this, and I saw it over there, and I went over there to get that podium. And I was heading over there, and I got a hold of it, and I was a little bit heavy, and I started to pull it and everything a little way. And the man said, hey, don't touch that. I said, yes, sir. He said, that's my job. He's in a wheelchair. He's had a stroke. He's paralyzed on one side. And he goes over there in a wheelchair with one hand. He goes like this, and he gets a hold of that thing. And I don't know how he gets it over there, but he drags it over there. That's my job. I have something to do for the Lord. You know something? I felt so bad, and I would take, after I got done preaching, I said, I'm not touching this thing. That man come over and got, he looked like he'd whoop me, amen, with one arm. But he had something he was doing, and that really tenderized my heart. I went to a nursing home one time, just stop in, and I was a little bit discouraged and a little bit down and out, you know, and all that. And I seemed like I just was just having a kind of a, you know, just thinking about stuff and everything. And I said, I stopped by this nursing home, and I said, hello, ma'am. I said, I'm so-and-so, and I'm just out visiting around talking to people. You got anybody in here that needs a little bit of encouragement that I could talk to? Somebody that really needs some help and prayer or whatever. And they told me a room to go to. They said, you go down to room number 110. I went in the room. I said, hello, sir. My name is Mike Watkins, and I'm just out trying to talk to people and encourage them. And I witnessed to him. He said he was saved and everything. And I said, sir, is there anything I could do for you? Anything at all I could do for you? And he looked up. He laying in bed. He looked up at me and he said, yes. Would you read my favorite psalm to me? I'm thinking Psalm 23, Psalm 1, Psalm 100. He says 119. And I looked at him like, you got to be kidding me. I didn't say that out loud, but he could see it on my face. He said, sir, if you don't have time or don't worry about it. And I said, no, I'm going to read it. They had the, I pulled up a Gideon Bible in there and I have a New Testament. I opened it up there and 176 verses. When I got down to that last verse, hey, man, we're going to have an invitation praying. Amen. You know, something, it really touched my heart. And that happened about 20 years ago. I told my wife, I said, every Sunday morning, you know, instead of us talking about our problems, we didn't sleep much like last night, don't feel good and all that kind of stuff that may come up. Amen. I said, let's play Psalm 119 on this little speaker phone, little speaker thing. And I said, let's turn it up real loud and listen to all 176 verses. Saved our marriage. Amen. But anyway, we're just getting ready for church and listen to that 176 verses. At the end of the verse, I got my tie and tie, and we're ready to head out the door. Amen. So engage in some spiritual work. Amen. And I was proud of Julian. We talked to him on the phone the other day while in my truck with Christy and my wife and all. And he was telling me he finished his first week of working in camp. And I'm thinking, you know, he's at camp. He's got three or four boys and stuff like that. He said he had 18 boys. He said, I don't want any kids for a long time. I think they were 11 and 12 year olds, weren't they? I just think, how was I at 11 and 12 years old? I was mischievous. I was all the above. And he said, I'm okay. He said, I'm wore out. He said, I got to have some sleep and a break. Amen. But anyway, you don't leave and all that behind there for a moment there, but the rewards in heaven, rewards in earth, and everything like that. But you know, something involved in a spiritual work. You know, it's not hard to pass out a gospel tract. We like to use these smile ones at parades and stuff like that, and I hand them a smiley tract, and I say, hey, how about a smile for you? And they always smile until I give them the plan of salvation, tell them they're going to hell. And all. But anyway, they go like this. I said, it's not a scratch off. It has Bible verses inside here. And my name's on the back. It's so much fun telling people about Jesus. Amen. And so when he's passing out tracts everywhere. Amen. And, you know, about a week before I got saved, I was 26. I was working at a nuclear power plant in Tennessee. Radiation, you know. Anyway, I was working there at a nuclear power plant, and they had so many people working there. It was unbelievable. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of three shifts and 7 days a week. It was just crazy trying to get the power plant up and running. And I worked there a whole year doing that. It was unbelievable. But anyway, I went in this makeshift restroom they had, not an outhouse, but it was pretty nice because it takes several years to build a nuclear plant. I went in the restroom, and I saw a little pamphlet there. It said, this is your life, written by Jack Chick. And I picked it up, this is your life. And I read it. I took it home and read it. Then a couple of days later, somebody gave me another tract. And another couple of days later, somebody led me to Christ because somebody left a gospel tract in the restroom that I picked up and read, and I kept it. And it had a profound effect upon me. It planted a seed in my heart. the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Engage in the spiritual work. All you can do, all you can possibly do, telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen. And engaging in this, engage in life. Amen. So many things we could talk about where you get involved and get engaged to engage in the area of tithing, giving regular missions and giving, be a giver. Amen. And go above and beyond. And giving. A lot of people say, well, I don't have anything to give. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. The Lord allows us an opportunity to be a giver in so many areas. So many ways you can be prepared to be a giver. Not just in church, where I believe that God would desire that and want that. Amen. But also everywhere you go to be a giver. I always keep little $10 gift cards at McDonald's everywhere I go. I meet people everywhere, see them. A little bit of help. A little bit of help and a little bit of giving of your time and giving of your talent, no doubt about that, and your tithe and so on. You've heard that before. Be a giver. Give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. And it's amazing what God would do. Sowing the seeds of the gospel. Be a giver. Do all you can to get the gospel out and giving out the love and caring for other people. Amen. You know, things are just going crazy on the price and everything. Be an investor of whatever you have, that whether it's some time and whatever. You know, being a person of investing in other people and investing in your children, man, and continue investing in their lives and being a blessing to them. And it's really great being older. I got kids, grandkids, and a couple great grandkids now, and invest in their lives and care for them and love them. And amen. Jesus, remember, he went about doing good everywhere he went. Amen. All over the Bible, you see that the people given of themselves, the 12 disciples and so on, all those different individuals. Were they perfect? No, they were tax men. Were they perfect? There was Judas and all the others. Amen. But Jesus personally picked them. Amen. Investing. Just think. He said, man, I should have bought some gold 20 years ago. Yeah. Maybe it's worth $1,500. Maybe it's worth $4,000 today. You know, we miss those opportunities in life, don't we? And investing in people. I got a little letter from one of the families that moved down in South Florida. I never heard anybody moving to South Florida, but anyway, usually a lot of them move in our area. Then they'll move somewhere up in the Carolinas or Tennessee, come out of New York or whatever, Michigan, and then they go back to live in Florida for 2 or 3 years. It's hot and sweaty, and there are bugs and all that kind of stuff, you know, and mosquitoes and alligators and bears and all kinds of stuff down there. And they moved to North Carolina, and they're called halfbacks. They move halfway back home. But one of them moved to South Florida, and they had a couple little girls, and they moved down there. And I got a letter from the mother, sent a little card to me, and God bless you, and I sure do miss being there, and so on and so forth. And there was a little note in there and a little paper. And one of the little girls, she's probably about 8 years old, wrote a little note to me, or Pastor, I sure do miss you. Keep on doing what you're doing, giving the gospel out. And I sent her a few smiles, and I had Jody write a little letter, envelope and all that, and I put a little note in there. Thank you very much. And I said, you can do what I do. And I gave her three of them in there to give out to other ones. Isn't it a blessing? Amen. The serving God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. Amen. And when I first got saved, I didn't know. Amen. But praise God, I have a beautiful daughter. And you know something? If it wasn't for my daughter, Christy, she had a profound effect on me to getting saved. Because, you know, when I had a daughter, I'm not saved. I don't know much about anything. I never had a sister that I know of, and I had a mother I wasn't real connected to and everything. But here I have a daughter. And I never done this in my life, but I said, God, I know you're up there and you made her, and what do I do now? And it seemed like the Lord might have said, give up on that, you'll never arrive. No, he said, and that's when I got saved, just a short time, a couple of weeks or so later, God gave me a pathway to living for the Lord and becoming spiritual. Amen. And I knew I was in the right church when I come in the lobby this morning. I think it was about 9:30. I come in the lobby there, and there was a man there. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Yeah, good, good, good." You're Chrissy's dad, right?" "Yeah." "And you did a good job. You did a good job." He didn't say nothing about the pastor or anything. You know how that is. And one little quick story. I preached at a funeral service. I didn't know who he was. He was a retired admiral. The nursing home called me. Funeral home said, "Could you do this?" And I tell him, "Never call me unless you absolutely ain't got anybody else. I'm old, you know." They called me and said, "I want you to do this service." Took the song leader in our church. I got him to get over there with me. Singer, really good, like your song leader and singers and everything. When I preached this service, I thought it was very eloquent, very touching, very helping, very encouraging and everything. I was really proud of that sermon in there. I said, "Man, it's really good. I did pretty good." We go out there and we go to the lobby and we're standing there. And the singer was with me right there. I had one lady out of like 200 people said thank you. And they went over there and hugged him. "Oh, that was a beautiful song you did there. Beautiful Land's my favorite song," and all that. You know something? Don't let things like that discourage you. Amen. I quit the next day. But anyway, I'll give you a thought here and I'm done. You know, get involved in your self-improvement. You know, and I'm not talking about self-help book. I'm talking about getting improved in your spiritual life and be involved in that, men, especially I'm talking to men, of course, everybody else there, but be engaged with God in marriage and children and spiritual work and personal improvement. Amen. Remember, we are the clay and in the potter's hands. Amen. And we surrender to the potter's hand. And so get involved with God and having that, and then also being a better you, being more of a friendly person, more of a loving person, be more of a folksy person. Now, I'm from up where I'm from in Missouri, all they talk about is corn and hay, cows, hogs, and chickens. But as I grow through life and everything and learning that I need to be more loving and more personable, and trying to be a better father to my kids, and a better grandfather, and a better great-grandfather. Maybe somewhere along the line you're thinking about, you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. Maybe somewhere along the line you're thinking, "I really do need to be a better husband to my wife. I really do need to be a better father to my children. Really need to get involved in some spiritual work and being an example to my family and children and other people and the personal improvement and desiring to grow in the Lord." I think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. So many verses in the Bible. He says to grow in the Lord. Remember that over 1 Peter. Continually doing that. How long? Till the day you die. I hope I die, and when I leave, that when I do die, that I'll be loving and caring and sweet and trying to encourage others in my final days and hours of my life. You just keep on going for the Lord. Keep on saying, "I'm just going to be a better husband, better father, maybe a better wife, and encouraging, being the helpmeet you need to be," and so on. As we close our eyes and bow our heads this morning, I want you to think about these things as Pastor comes, that how you need to be more involved and more engaged.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've heard a challenge this morning to be engaged and the different areas in which he challenged us to stay engaged and to be engaged. I hope that you were engaged in the message, applying it. Bible knowledge, all the Bible knowledge in the world is no good to a person who never makes an application, never apply it to themselves. I've known people that have all kinds of degrees and everything you can imagine, and they have all kinds of certificates of completion, Bible studies and seminaries and all the things that go on. But often the problem is not in their possession of knowledge, it's their ability to make an application. So many people don't know how to apply Scripture to their life. They don't know how to apply the Bible to them. We're good at applying it to the guy next to us, to the person who didn't make it today, to that person we thought needed to be here who needed that message. Somehow the application can sometimes escape being applied to ourselves. Are you engaged? Are you an engaged Christian? Are you an engaged dad? An engaged husband? Are you an engaged church member? Are you an engaged mother? An engaged wife? Are you involved? Let me ask a quick question before I have you stand in a moment. If you were to die today and stand before God, and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? Do you know what you'd say? Do you have the answer? That's a big question. It's a big moment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Are you ready to stand before God today? If you say, preacher, I'm ready for that day. I long for that day because I've prepared for that day. Would you raise your hand? I'm ready. The question doesn't scare me because I'm ready. I'm ready. I see hands everywhere. You may lower your hands. And I want to praise the Lord with you that I can raise my hand with you, not because I'm a good man or a perfect man or a sinless man, but because I'm a forgiven man, forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. And if that question scares you this morning, you too can be a forgiven person. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. God wants to save you. He wants to save you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on a wooden cross to pay the cost for our transgressions, so that we could be forgiven and saved from judgment. Now let me ask a follow-up question to that. If you say, preacher, I'm not ready to stand before God, but I sure want to get ready. Will you help me? If you'll slip your hand up, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do any of that, but I am going to help you. I'm going to give you instruction that's going to greatly help you. Would you slip your hand up today if you'd like that help? Knowing, help to know that you're forgiven and on your way to heaven when that time comes. Anybody in the room at all this morning? No one's looking around. I'm the only one looking. But if you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And when I do, I'm going to be right here. And I'm going to be ready to help you. I've got altar workers ready. They're already up at the front. They're ready to take you to a private room and show you how you can find in the Word of God, not our opinion, not what we think about it, but what the Word of God says about it, how you can have Jesus as your Savior and prepare you to one day stand before the Lord. Get engaged in that question this morning. Don't pass it off. Think about it. Let me ask one last question before I have you stand. Is there anyone that could say, today, somewhere in the message, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart? Would you just slip your hand up this morning? Oh, I see hands everywhere. The Holy Spirit was at work. Was at work. Oh, that word, engage. It is the issue. You know why churches are closing up all over America? Good churches, Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches, closing their doors. Because their membership have become unengaged. They no longer come to church if they're not interested in the topic. They're not interested in what the series is. They no longer come. They're not interested in helping. Church after church has service after service where most of their membership is absent, not engaged. Are you engaged in the service of the Lord, the work of God, the house of God? Church member in the room, I hope that you will strive to be an engaged church member. What a great thought. Dad's in the room. It's Father's Day. I can't not redrive that home before I have you stand. Are you engaged with your children and grandchildren? We cannot delegate the job of being fathers, although many do. It's not right to do it. It's not the right way. God requires two components to come together to make a child. God did that on purpose because those two components are the completion of what it takes to bring and raise up and nurture a healthy child, spiritually, physically. Dads, be engaged with your children. Take that time to play with them. Go to their ball games. Help them. Teach them how to work on a car when you're out there working. Teach them your hobbies. Teach them your love for Jesus. Don't send your family to church. Be engaged with your family and come to church with them. Be engaged. Dad's in the room. It's our day today. Think about it. Be engaged. Dear Lord, I'm going to ask our church family to stand in a moment. We've heard a challenge from the man of God this morning. The word engaged. I pray that there were people engaged in the thoughts, the message. Lord, if there be anybody in here that doesn't know you as their Savior, let them come and let us help prepare them for the day that they stand before you. Lord, if the message spoke to anybody in the room through the power of the Holy Spirit, let them respond by coming to an altar for just a moment and saying, Lord, I want to talk to you about this because you spoke to me earlier and I want to respond. And we do that through prayer. And the altar is the greatest place to do that. I pray that our people will use it. And we'll be dismissed in a moment. We'll go engage in our families and have a good time this afternoon. But right now, let us focus on this spiritual moment. We ask this in Jesus' name.